Well, happy Hanukkah, everyone. Happy Hanukkah. Good morning. This year is dedicated to the memory of my father, Tzvi Meir ben Moshe Yonatan, Areni Kaparat Mishkavo. I said it many times this year, but my earliest memories of any of the special days of the year, including Hanukkah, was, of course, with him and my mother, may she live and be well. And therefore, going through a holiday without him being alive is always very difficult and challenging, especially during this first year of him not being with us in this world. So, indeed, if you look at Hanukkah from that perspective, you understand that Hanukkah is like Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Pesach. They're Yomim Tovim, they're family times, you do mitzvot on them, and there's no real difference. However, why is Hanukkah different than the rest of the Yomim Tovim? How come this morning, when Harold said to me, Chag Sameach, and he corrected himself, I said, it's good you corrected yourself, it's not a Chag. It's maybe a happy day, it's maybe a good day, but it's not a Chag.
We wear tefillin today.
Oh, we wear tefillin today. You're getting closer. You're getting closer. It's a symptom, but that's not an actual reason.
It's a full Hallel.
We said Hallel.
We said Hallel. We did a special mitzvah. But we wear tefillin, and we can use our cars. Same thing with Purim. So indeed, when you look at the holidays from the perspective of what are the special days of the year? You're a convert to Judaism, you want to know what Judaism is all about. They're all the same. You know, you have a Rosh Hashanah, you have a Yom Kippur, you have a Tanis Esther, you have a Yom Kippur. There's no difference. It's the holidays and the fast days in the calendar. However, there was a time in history that people went through the year with a Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Sukkot and Pesach and Shavuos without Hanukkah and Purim. Take it a step further. There are people that went through the year before 1948 without a Yom HaAtzmaut. So there's no question that something changed. But this is a very problematic thing for us Orthodox Jews to say. Something changed? What do you mean? The Torah doesn't change. Weren't we taught that in pre-1K? When they taught us that there was a miracle for 8 days and that special oil and whatnot, didn't they also say the Torah doesn't change? The Torah is eternal. The Jewish people are eternal. God is eternal. Torah doesn't change. But I just said, factually, and this cannot be refuted, that there was a time in history where Jews did not have Hanukkah on the calendar. So how can that be? So let's start with the first assumption, namely the Torah doesn't change. And then we'll go into Hanukkah.
So it's not a derivative? It's a derivative?
Oh, so that's very easy for Bruce to say, it's not, right? Okay. No, let me ask you a question, Bruce.
Can the Rabbanim make a holiday?
Did Yaakov Avinu, together with Avraham, celebrate Hanukkah?
No.
Did they do Eruv Tavshilin?
I don't think so.
No, they did. The Gemara says that Avraham Avinu kiyam kol haTorah kula, including Eruv Tavshilin. Eruv Tavshilin is the Rabbanim?
When the Gemara says that, is that meant to be taken literally? Or is there a discussion?
Literally or figuratively, the bottom line is, the Gemara says it. I would take it at face value. Okay, he did the Torah. Now, that perspective, the fact that it's the Rabbanan per se, doesn't make it a change. The Rabbanan was always there. When Moshe Rabbeinu got the Torah, the day before he got the Torah, he made it the Rabbanan. You remember what it was? God said, get ready for 3 days. Moshe Rabbeinu added a day. The Rabbanan. What are you going to call that? A change, not a change, before the Torah was given. So, let's first start with, does the Torah not change? See why, and then we'll go into Hanukkah and see how the Torah did change. And then we'll ask ourselves a very serious question today. Maybe our teacher in kindergarten lied to us. The Torah does change. Let's see. This is going to be a shear for apostates. Yeah.
Also, nowadays, I mean, recently you had the Ethiopians who didn't know anything about Hanukkah.
Very good. So Harold says, you don't need God willing, you don't need bigger proof than the Ethiopians. They were living disconnected from the Jewish people. They had many holidays, but not Hanukkah. They come to Israel, they added it on.
They had Purim?
I don't think so.
No.
Okay, gentlemen, so let's see. Does the Torah not change? The Rambam says that there are 13 things that a Jew has to believe in. Some people say it after davening every day. Some people say it after davening Friday night, Yigdal. Rav Yaakov Emden thought it was Kfira, because we believe in the 13 attributes. We do not go ahead and say them. That's part of other religions. But, Ani ma'amin be'emuna shleima, number one. So why do you have to say? You have to believe him. Anima amin be'munah shleima, you have to believe. So the Rambam says in his introduction to the 8th, 10th parak of Sanhedrin, known as parak Chelek, he said, Ra'iti l'daber kan ha'yisodot rabim be'munateinu. I'm going to tell you the fundamentals of our faith. And fundamental number 9 is, I quote, Shezo ha'torah lo tibatel, v'lo torah torah me'et Hashem zulata, v'lo yitvasef ba, v'lo yigra mimenu, lo bechatu, v'lo beferush. The Torah doesn't change. Not in interpretation, not in content. It will never change. So if you say Ani Ma'amin after davening, you'll say Ani Ma'amin b'muna shalema shezot ha-Torah lo tiyeh mukhlefet. This Torah will not be changed. V'lo tiyeh Torah acheret, and will never be another Torah meta b'reit barach shemo. God won't come down and say, all right, from now on, that's Old Testament. New Testament is the way you're going to go from now on. Okay? Now, the Rambam, as you know, wrote books that he believed will basically make our homes bigger. What do I mean, Alex? How does the Rambam write books that makes our homes bigger? A Jewish home is different than a non-Jewish home. First of all, you need extra room for dishes. Why?
Before sex.
Milchik, Fleishik, Pesach, etc. Good. We also need room for Svarim. Says the Rambam, I'm going to help the Jewish people out. He wrote a Mishneh Torah, 14 books, where he said, all you need at home is one little shelf. The shelf will have a Tanakh, the 24 books of the Tanakh, and next to it, 14 books of the Mishneh Torah. That's it. Did he succeed?
No.
No. So later on in history, there was a gentleman by the name of the Shlah. His real name wasn't Shlah. His real name was... Anyone want to guess this one? Rabbi Horowitz, known as the Bala HaFla'a, he wrote a book called the Shlah, Shnei Luchot HaBrit. Now, why is he called it the two tablets? Because he also had this great idea. I'm going to write a book that's going to take care of all the rest of the books. It's all in there. You don't need the Gemara. You don't need the Rishonim. I got it all in. He also didn't succeed. But, not surprisingly, in his Shelah, he says the same thing the Rambam says. Ha'ikar ha-chi'i, the ninth fundamental of our faith is, lo yachalif ha'el v'lo yamir dato. Some people know that from Yigdal, right? God will not change, and he will not change religion. V'lo techalef torat Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom. V'lo techei torah me'im Hashem yitparach zulata. Torah will not change. And just to think, you say, okay, the written Torah won't change. You know that Torah we put back in the ark, the ones that many Jews are scared to get Hagbah with, right? You know, the biggest fear in shul, and I've seen this year, is that people will be asked to say Hagbah, to do Hagbah, and they can't do it. And if you say, no, thank you, you look like a weak one. See, if you say no thank you to an Aliyah, it's like saying, I don't need the kavod. But if you say no thank you to Hagbah, it's like, I can't lift it. Right? I'm not talking about that Torah.
Lift it correctly.
If you only said that Torah won't change, I can live with it. Says the Shelah, lo bichtav, velo baal peh. The Torah Shebaal peh won't change. If the Torah Shebaal peh taught us that tefillin have to be square and black, that won't change. Doesn't say it in the written Torah, it says in the oral Torah. If the oral Torah said that an etrog is an etrog, the pre-eight sadar doesn't mean lemon, it means etrog, that's the way it's always going to be. All right, Torah doesn't change. Now you come along and you say, what do you mean the Torah didn't change? Look on the right side of the page. Masechet Megillah. Tana Rabbanan. Arba'im u'shmona neviim u'sheva neviyot nitnu lehem liYisrael. How many prophets do we have altogether in the book of prophets? There is no book of prophets. How many neviim did we have? Taking Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron, Miriam, they all spoke to God. Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, etc. 48. How many neviyot, women neviim?
Seven.
All these people came along. Now, you know a Navi can do something that a rabbi can't do. A Navi can say to you, today, do a hora'at sha'ah, as Harold said, violate Shabbos today. You can't say violate Shabbos forever. That's a Navi sheker. But a Navi Ahmed said, I just got a communication from God in my Bluetooth that said, today, violate Shabbos. I don't light Hanukkah candles. But he can't say it forever. He can say it for that day. Right? So these Nevi'im came along, and they didn't lo pachatu v'lo hotira mashkatov b'Torah. They didn't subtract nor add to what's in the Torah. With one exception. What's the exception? Mikra Megillah. That's pretty good. I was always taught that, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu got the Torah, and then later on, the rabbis added on many different things. Says this Gemara, no, nothing was added except for Mikra Megillah. Explains Rashi. Wait a minute. Aren't you forgetting something?
No.
Purim and... We always say Purim and Hanukkah. Rambam. We started with the Rambam today. Where does the Rambam put the laws of Hanukkah? In the laws of Purim. He says there's the same McCoy. Right? Adirabanan laid it on later. So Hilchot Megillah, first two chapters. Hilchot Hanukkah, last two chapters. That's the way he ends the book of Zmanim. Zmanim means special time. Shabbos, Yom Tov, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. Hanukkah and Purim. So says Rashi. What happened to Hanukkah? Explains Rashi. Ner Hanukkah kvar pasku anevim. By Ner Chanukah, by the time the Maccabees wrote the book of Maccabees, by the time, what else happened in Chanukah? The Hasmoneans fought against the Hellenist Greeks, there was no Nevi'im, so there was no question over there. But during Purim, Aval B'yamei Mordechai, Chagai Zechariah Malachi, they were still functioning. So you would think, oh, prophets added on to the Torah. No, at the whole time the prophets functioned, from Abraham to the last ones, one edition. What was it? Purim. Afterwards, there were other additions. Yom Ha'atzma'ut, Yom Yerushalayim, don't divorce a woman against her will, don't take two wives, but during the time the Nevi'im function, one addition. So doesn't the Gemara here say there was an addition to the Torah? Interesting. Look on the left side of the sage. Masechet Shabbos, now we're coming to Chanukah. Amar Rav Chiya Barashi, Amar Rav, Hamat Ligner Shel Chanukah, Tzarich Levarech. All right, the Gemara tells us when you light the Chanukah menorah, you have to make a blessing first. Now, Bruce is going to look at me and ask the following question. Rabbi, with due respect, doesn't the Gemara tell us things that we don't know? What do you mean you have to make a bracha? Everyone knows, before you shake the lulav, you make a bracha. Before you eat matzah, you make a bracha. What, the Gemara had to come, by the way, make a bracha. So the Gemara says, what's the bracha? And here there's variation. Some people say Ner Shel Chanukah, some people say Ner Chanukah, some people say Ner Shel HaChanukah. Same idea. The Gemara doesn't care what you say at the end. The Gemara has a problem with the beginning. Asher kidishanu v'mitzvotav v'tzivanu. Asher kidishanu v'mitzvotav. Okay, God, you have sanctified us with your commandments. That's beautiful. You know, Jews out, human beings out there, they're not sanctified with commandments. We're more sanctified. They got 7, we got 613. They didn't get a good deal on that one. Anyway, we're sanctified with the commandments. What's the problem? No, Harold, tell me what the problem is. V'tzivanu. V'heichan tzivanu. How did Harold know that? Because Bruce is looking at me, and Alex is looking at me, and Harold's looking in the source sheet because he understands, well, Rabbi, if the rabbi brought a source sheet, it's probably for us to look in. There's no trick questions around this table. How did God command us? What? God said to Moshe Rabbeinu when he was up there the first 40 days, listen, once upon a time in a few years, it's going to be a Hanukkah. You know, Hasmoneans, Greeks, this, that, and the other thing. What do you mean? We all know that happened later. So the Gemara gives two answers. Why do we have to listen to the sages? But proof positive, these two sources. The Torah, what? Changed. The Torah changed. So the Rambam, the Shloss says Torah doesn't change. Two Gemaras. This is not rocket science somewhere in a Kabbalistic book somewhere. In the back it says the Torah changed. No, this is right there. The Gemaras we all learn. These are even easy Gemaras. You know, the whole Hanukkah story in the Gemara is about 2.5 blot. Pages, excuse me, not blot. Right? No, 2.5 blot. Okay, let's say 4 or 5 pages. That's the whole Hanukkah in the Gemara. Masechet Megillah is about, anyone know how many dapim? I think it's Lamed Bet. Third Lamed Bet. Lev. A heart of pages. 32 pages. Well, this is the Gemaras we learn. These are the easy Gemaras. You know, Bava Kama heart. You know, Megillah, that's easy. So, we all know the Torah changed. So why do you come along and say the Torah didn't change? So I'd like to offer an answer. I'd like to offer an answer and say, yes, the Torah doesn't change because when the Torah was given, it basically said, the Torah is always going to be there. What will change?
Times,
reality. And when reality changed, the sages of that generation will have to say, well, what applies in the Torah to the new scenario? Namely, if once upon a time when you went to shul on Shmini Atzeret and you said Tfilat Geshem, have you ever held the Machzor Rabbah in your hands? What's the Machzor Rabbah? Kiddusha Rabbah. It's a big Kiddush. Why is it a long Kiddush? Because it's short. Right? That's the way we Jews joke. Why is Yom HaMiyuchas Bet Sivan? Because nothing happened. So we have the same thing. Machzor Rabbah. Big Machzor. When you open up this big Machzor, first night of Sukkot, Pesach, Shavuos, what do you got? You say Baruch Hu, and you look, you say, oh my gosh, there's all these piyutim here. What are they called? Ma'aravos, from the word Ma'ariv. Then you come to Shacharit, you say, oh my gosh, instead of just saying Birkot Kriyat Shema, there's a bunch of additions. Those called Yotzrot. Then you have a Chazarat Hashatz like Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So that Machzor Rabbah makes Jews very, very happy. Why?
Because we don't say it.
Because we don't say it. A Jew is not happy when davening is short. A Jew is happy when the davening is supposed to be long, and he sees they're about to say five pages, and you skip. Ha! Amazing. Do you know the simcha of a Jew on a regular Thursday, not on Hanukkah, when you see that long tachnit, say, skip! It's wonderful. Ashrei lo menatzeach v'aletzion. During Hanukkah, Ashrei, no lo menatzeach, omit. We love that. Right? Skip. So Machzor Rabbah makes Jews very happy. They skip. But once upon a time, you know how long Tefillat Geshem took? You look at the Machzor Rabbah, I'm telling you, it would take about an hour and a half to get through the Tefillat Geshem. So why don't we do that today? What changed?
Thanks.
Attention spans changed. ADHD and whatnot. So you have to apply Tefillat Geshem, never will change, to the new reality, ADHD. And it's not just Tefillat Geshem, a small little minhag. Let's look at examples.
They did say it once.
Of course. What do you think it's in there for?
I don't know.
I've heard descriptions. Not only did they say it, women would come to shul and cry. You would think it was raining in the shul from the tears that they had with Tefillat Geshem. Today, Tefillat Geshem, especially in Israel, when it's also Shmini Atzeret and also Simchas Torah, no one has the patience for it. So you do a little piyut before and that's it. Finished. Mashi v'ruach l'mina Geshem from this day forward. Well, you would say to me, Tefillat Geshem, a minhag. Rabbi, don't mix me up with minhagim. The Torah doesn't change. I read the five books of Moses, it doesn't change. So let's see. Mishnah and Masechet Saita. Mishe Rabu harotz chanin batla agar igla rufa. Is igla rufa a biblical commandment? So the Gemara says, no, Mishnah, hey, once there's so many people that murder people, that particular ceremony of a dead body between cities, batel, we don't do it. It's in the Torah, we read about it, we don't do it. Next, Mishe Rabu minafim pasku amayim hamarim. You know, a sota is a woman that her husband thinks that she cheated. And she goes to the Beis HaMikdash and she drinks this bitter water, etc. Once there's so many people cheating on their wives and wives cheating on their husbands, we no longer do that. So what, the Torah changed? The reality changed. That is no longer the way to deal with it. Let's go further. Masechet Sanhedrin, Mishnah. You ready? The Mishnah says that if you obey the Avodah Zarah, if you idol worship, it's a bad thing, right? You know the story of Hanukkah, whether it's true or not, about those seven kids that wouldn't bow down to the idol? We don't do idol worship. It's bad. As a matter of fact, it's one of the three mitzvot that we have to do what for?
Give our lives.
So the Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin says that you can't do Avodah Zarah. Echad ha-oved, echad ha-zoveach, echad ha-maktir, echad ha-menaseach. And the Gemara and the Mishnah in Sanhedrin says, Hazorek eben lemalkulis, zohi avodato. If you throw a stone to this Avodah Zarah called Makulis, that's considered worshipping Avodah Zarah. In other words, we go to shul and we daven. They went to the statue and threw a rock at it. There's some Jews today that believe that throwing rocks is the way to serve God. And even though they are a bunch of morons, first of all, rocks are muktzah on Shabbos. Second of all, you're endangering Jews. But they think that the way to service God is to throw rocks at cars on Shabbos. Well, terrible thing. But if you throw it at the Makulis, it's Avodah Zarah. So says the Gemara in Maseches Brachos. This is a Gemara, Tana Rabbanan. We all know Makulis is an Avodah Zarah. What do you do when you see an Avodah Zarah? You would have asked me, I would say you spit, you curse, you say the words that Jews used to say when they passed the church. What was it? Shaketz, teshaketzenu, vita'ev, tita'avenu, kicheremhu. If you don't know what that means, that sounds terrible. Right? If you see the Makulis, what do you say? A bracha. A bracha? A bracha. What's the blessing on the Avodah Zarah? May you fall down. May you break. May you go ahead and, at the way, kill a few Avodah Zarah. No, what's the bracha? Anyone want to translate this bracha? Shulchan Aruch paskins it and Orech Chaim Reish Kaf Dalet HaRe'em Markulis Omer Baruch Shenatan Erech Apayim Lo'ovrei Ritzono. Anyone want to translate?
You should bless them when he bows down to...
No, he does not bow down. Blessed be you, God,
yeah.
King of the universe, that has patience and doesn't kill these guys. You know, you take your anger, you leave it inside, and you don't kill them. Erech ha-payim lo-vrei ritzano. These are violators of your name, because even a non-Jew can't do Avodah Zarah. It's one of the seven Noahide commandments. But these guys are doing it. Blessed be you, God. You let these guys off the hook. Well, you don't kill them. Whatever happened to killing, breaking Avodah Zarah, ruining Avodah Zarah? Well, times have changed, I guess. Well, if indeed you come along and you say a bracha. Now comes the Ramah and says, we're now in the 16th century. I'm in Krakow. Okay? From the Mishnah says you can't even throw a rock at it. The Gemara says you make this blessing like, all right, God, you're tolerant. Comes the Ramah and says, Ve ha'idna. What's ha'idna? No, what's ha'idna? Now, today, right? And Rebachim Sota Bracha. Shari Anu Megudalim Benahem Rebachim Otam Tamid. We don't make this Bracha. Why? We're used to it. You know, there's so many people that Ovdei Avodah Zarah, where I live, in the Polish Russian Empire over there. So, we don't make this Bracha. It's not a big deal. You know, if everyone's worshipping God and all of a sudden you see Avodah Zarah, oh my gosh. But if everyone's going ahead and worshipping Avodah Zarah, you don't even make the Bracha. Another change. Egla Rufa. Mayim Amarim. And now Avodah Zarah. Yeah.
If you see an Avodah Zarah that was destroyed in Israel, do you say anything? Or?
Yes, but that's a separate shir. Because Israel is different than Chutz Laretz, because in Israel you have to look for the Avodah Zarah and break it. And Chutz Laretz only if you stumble upon it.
Okay.
Next change, Beseches Kiddushin, Amar Shmuel. Now I want to know who around this table practices what Shmuel says. Ein sho'alin b'shloma isha klal ba'afilu ha'yedei shaliach. So as you walked up the steps to this year this morning, and you saw a woman on the steps, if you said good morning to her, if you said happy Hanukkah, you have violated Jewish law. Maseches Kiddushin. Ein sho'alin b'shlom ha'isha klal. No salutations to the opposite sex. Gemara. Everybody ready? Says Rashi, Shema mitoch shilat shalom. You regulim zeim zeh, yidei shlicham, yavol yidei chiba. Because maybe if you say good morning, there'll be what they call today the slippery slope. You know, every time a woman wants to do something in the synagogue, they say slippery slope,
yeah,
right?
I do all the time.
Oh, there you go. Slippery slope. You know, if you allow a woman into shul, one day she'll want to read from the Torah. Now we're already allowing women into shul. There's a nechitza. If you allow a woman to sing, she'll want to be a chazan. Right? Everything's slippery slope. Says Rashi, slippery slope. You say good morning. In a minute, you're going to go, God forbid, and do an avera. Shulchan Aruch Paskin says, Ein sho'alim b'shloma isha klal. Afilu ayidei shaliach. Afilu ayidei ba'ala asu b'shloach la'divrei shilumim. You're not going to tell the husband, hey, give your wife my best regards. Nothing. Comes along the Ramah and says, and some say, ready for the Ramah? Some say, Gemara, Shulchan Aruch, Ramah, Dechol Sheino said Derech Chiba, Rakamanato L'Shem Shamayim. If you're not doing it to grow closer to the woman, just L'Shem Shamayim to be an upright human being, to say hello to people, and to be nice and kind, says the Ramah, Mutar. Lachen Nagula Kel Baruch HaKotelu. We don't have this today. So we've given many examples, not just Hanukkah and Purim, many examples where either we don't fulfill halachos, or we've totally and utterly changed Jewish law. We don't fulfill Egla Rufa and Sota and the Markulis and come along with Shlom Haisha. Not done! And we had a Hanukkah and Purim. So to say the Torah didn't change, the Rambam and the Shla, people say it after davening on Imamim B'muna Shlema, Shizot HaTorah Lo Tiyeh Mukhlefet. That's a very, very problematic statement because the evidence shows otherwise. Answer? The Torah indeed is relevant to every generation. If not, never sing Eitz Chaim Hila Machazikim Ba. It's a Torah of life, a tree of life when you put back the Torah. If it's not a tree of life because it's irrelevant, then what are you singing Eitz Chaim Hi? Torah is relevant in every generation. However, how you apply it is different. So, if you are applying it to generation A, it will be different than applying it to generation B. Mashal Lemaha Davar Domeh. Once upon a moon, when Jews ate a meal in honor of Shabbos, that doesn't change. They ate what they thought was the most healthy thing in the world. What was it? Schmaltz. And very fatty cholent. And they thought this was the best way. As time goes on, the Surgeon General says this is no good. So they eat tofu. And they eat a cholent without potatoes. Carbs are no good. And they're still fulfilling the mitzvah of honoring Shabbos. Albeit, the menu changed. The menu, no schmaltz. Olive oil. Something in the vogue during Hanukkah. Yes, Bruce.
Does this mean when the Torah says an eye for an eye, or be it as a form of kedusha, that at one time this might have been the case, but evolved and we just changed it because it just didn't fit the
Torah? Eye for an eye, definitely not, because it's very explicit in the Gemara. It never mean that, meaning the Torah Shabbat Peh explains that's money. What was the other example? Bia? Bia is absolutely a viable way to do Kiddushin. The fact that, good example, Rav said, I'm going to put in Chayrim anyone, that Mekadesh HaYedei Bia was because the reality changed. So it is a viable way. Albeit we don't do it. Just like Egar Rufa is there, but it's not relevant for that generation. Yeah, good example. Now let's see a few examples that are going to make your eyes pop out. So we know Chanukah Purim a change. Okay, we don't do Egar Rufa. Now you're going to put your eyes pop out. People here learn Pirkei Avot or like no longer? Okay. Some people learn Pirkei Avot between Pesach and Shavuos. Some people learn it all summer. Some people just say it and don't learn it. You know, many people out there. I once heard a program on the radio, you know, one of those programs for the religious stations, and someone called in with questions. So there's a rabbi there, and he asked, can I read the Zohar, which whatever sect of the Sephardic Judaism he's part of, they read the Zohar in translation. So absolutely not. Absolutely not. He says, but I don't understand. Our minhag from all our forefathers is to read it in Aramaic. The guy said, but I don't understand. The answer of the rabbi is, don't worry, your forefather didn't understand either. That's the minhag, to read and not understand. But if you actually read Pirkei Avos and understand it, so Rab Dostaiba, Rabbi Yanai, Mishum Rabbi Meir Omer, in Pirkei Avos, third chapter, subdivision 8, Kol HaShokhech Tavar Chad Mi Mishnato, Maleh Lav Ketuv Kilo Mitchayif Ben Afshal. Anyone want to translate that? Because that's like, you can get arrested for this today.
If you forget one of your Mishnayos,
one of the things that you learned,
as
if you did a cardinal crime, yeah, and you're obligated to die for. So if you learned this year and you went home and your wife said, hey, what did you learn about today? And you say, well, there was something about changing and Torah. I learned that the Torah changed. That's not what I said. Well, if you forgot this year, you should drop dead. Terrible. You got to go over the shir 10 times. You don't forget a word.
If
you learn there's a machlokes between Rambam and Rashi, you got to know it forever. So, indeed, comes along Rav Chaim Mivolozhin and says, this just means something very specific. This doesn't mean anything you learned. This is only at a time where they didn't write down the Torah. So what did you have at home? You had a Tanakh. You didn't have a Torah Sheba'al Peh, because what's a Torah Sheba'al Peh? Oral. So if you didn't remember it, you're going to violate Jewish law. If you went to a shir about Hilchos Shabbos, nothing's written down. And the rabbi says, you cannot put a raw steak on the fire, put on the fire, and cook it on Shabbos. And you come home and your wife says, how was the shir? Well, there was something about Shabbos, there was something about steak, and there was something about fire. I think the rabbi said we have to put on a fire Shabbos morning and cook a steak. You just violated Shabbos with that statement, if you're going to do it. But that's only when you don't have all the pamphlets and books of Hilchos Shabbos. Now that we have it, says Rav Chaim Mivolozhin, irrelevant! Nice to read, no longer relevant. Now you know the Misnagdim and the Hasidim didn't get along, right? So not surprisingly, Rav Chaim Mivolozhin, who's the Gra, Gaon Mivilna, right? The one that really had a problem with the Hasidim, doesn't agree with the Shulchan Aruch Harav, Avshnir Zalman Miladi, which everybody knows that when he came to visit the Gra left town because he didn't want to meet this terrible apostate Hasid. So, the Shulchan Aruch Harav, Rav Shneur Zalman Miladi, in his Shulchan Aruch says, V'gam achshav shenichtava Torah shebal peh, v'yachol la'ayen b'sfarim ma sheshachach, ein zo mo'il klum, ki miyat sheshachach over belav, konim sheyayen kemo b'yimahim. Torah doesn't change, even though we have all these books and we can check out what we said and what the rabbi said, and there's Google and Rabbi Google, and there's also so many different books and ways and databases, says the Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Torah doesn't change. The minute you forget, you violated a law. Rav Chaim Mivolozhin says, no, you didn't. That was only at a time when you didn't have the books. Now you have the books, you have to remember anything. All you got to do is when you're asked the question, look it up. All right, that means you got to learn. But all you got to do is look it up. Change number one, you learned this Mishnah, not relevant to Rav Chaim Mivolozhin today. Why? We got books, we don't have to remember anything. Ready for change number two? Okay, here comes change number two. We talked about the oral Torah, the written Torah, the Sefer Torah. Do you have to own one?
No.
Oh, yes, you do. The last mitzvah in the holy five books of Moses is Ve'ata. And now, Kitfu lachem et hashira hazot ve'lamadad b'nei Yisrael sima b'fiyam. There's a positive commandment that every single person write a Sefer Torah and own it, or commission a sofer to write it for me. Every home should have a Sefer Torah. You don't believe me? Let's look at the Rambam, right side of the page. Positive commandment 18. No, it's right at the beginning of the 248 positive commandments. He puts it at number 18. Chai, you want to live? This is what you got to do. Bruce, you want to live? Are you debating with yourself maybe yet? Pretty good. All right. Hishit Sivano, this is what we were commanded. Sheyelechol ish mimeno sefer Torah la'atzmo. We're commanded every single person has to own a sefer Torah. Ve'im katvo biyado reza mishubach. If you can write it yourself, great. If not, commission a sofer. The Torah says, mitzvah da'aseh al kol adam Yisrael shechtov lo sefer Torah. And the Beis Yosef comes along and attacks someone that all of a sudden said, you don't have to. Ha'ech? Baharosh liftor la adam b'mitzvat k'divat sefer Torah ulahachlifa b'chumashim mishnayos v'gmaros v'ferusheyan. He says, how did the Rosh come along and say this pasuk in the Torah no longer? From now on, we don't need a sefer Torah. If you have books at home, Mishnah, Gemara, Shulchan Aruch, you fulfill the mitzvah. Well, if the Beis Yosef is talking against the Rosh, where do we got to go? To the Rosh. Look on the left side of the page. The Rosh says. And who quotes him no longer than the Torah that says it's a mitzvah? The Chatav, my father, the Rosh. This is in the generation of the first Jews that what would they do when they had to learn Torah? They didn't sit there with a store sheet like I've given you today. What did they do? They took out the Torah, they opened, and they learned. Says the Rosh. Avala idna, a word that's very important to us today. Today. You know, shekotvim sefer Torah minichinat lo b'beit haKnesset kotvim v'rabim. Today, I'm the rabbi in Spain because I used to be an Ashkenazi and I went to Spain to run for my life. I'm in Toledo, Spain. Hey, we only put the sefer Torah in the ark. We don't learn from it. We want to learn Torah. What do? We go out and take a chumash. Says the Rosh, if the whole reason for the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah is to learn from, so how do we fulfill the mitzvah today? Mitzvah da'aseh kol Yisrael asher b'yado maseged lichtov chumshei haTorah u'mishnah v'gemara u'fushehen lagot behem b'banav. How do you fulfill the mitzvah? Mitzvah is still relevant. By virtue of not a Sefer Torah, that's the holy ark, the holy Sefer Torah, the one that we kiss. We don't learn from it, we read from it. In public only. Says the Rosh, today, you want to fulfill the mitzvah in the end of Parshas. I think Nitzavim or Vayelech, I always get mixed up. Last mitzvah in the Torah? Buy books in the Judaica store. Change number two. So change number one was, you have to remember everything, we have books today. Change number two, you used to have to write a Sefer Torah. Today, go to the Judaic store, the more books the merrier. That's what the Rosh says. As you could see, in both cases, there's someone that says, no, the Torah doesn't change. The Pasuk always remains the same. Yeah.
Are we saying that the Torah changed or the application changed?
The application changed, of course.
So we're not really saying the Torah changes.
That's exactly it. But when you say a statement, the Torah doesn't change, it seems to imply that even if the reality changes, the Torah doesn't. Namely, if you read in the Mishnah, they would go out to the field and they would take an oxen and tie to it some sort of a thresher, you would think that's the way we have to do it today. If you want to look at our cousins in the area, that's the way they thresh the fields. But we have a Torah Shabbat Peh and we say, yes, you have to thresh the fields. A big mitzvah. Albeit, you can do it with a bulldozer. You don't have to do it today with oxen.
So why not have women then as edim or any other change which seems to fit the times?
Because when you say, I apply the mitzvah differently, it means the mitzvah is still a mitzvah. Albeit, we're going to do it in a different way. Not by writing a Sefer Torah, but by publishing books and buying them. When you say a woman can't be an ed, how are you supposed to, as we say in the political word, spin that it doesn't mean that? But Bruce, you should know there is indeed a caveat to what I just said. A woman can't be a witness, and neither can David HaMelech, right? Kings and women, when it's actual testimony to the kiyum adavar, to establish something like a man that gives a woman a ring and there's no witnesses. But if it's libirur hadavar, to know what happened outside, which car bumped into who, today in most batei din, they actually do accept women's edus on that.
But at one time they wouldn't have?
I don't know. But I don't think, and again, that's an example where they didn't eradicate the law.
Right.
Yeah.
But women are accepted as witnesses. Can you eat in your kitchen? Who does?
That's not the testimony he's talking about. Yeah. We're talking about edus. You're talking about edechad ne'eman be'isurin, where women, men, it makes no difference. If you're Shomer Shabbos, you're trusted. A woman in the kitchen, and many other examples. Where one person says it's kosher, that's it. He's not Shomer Shabbos, we've got ourselves a little bit of an issue.
I think it's real facetious, they'll take the testimony of a woman who
Aguna.
Report
just report.
Again, Biru HaDover.
Is killed.
Right. Factual report. Not Kiyum
HaDover. Yeah, factual report. That's the one.
All right. So we just gave two examples. You don't have to write a Sefer Torah according to the Rosh. We got books. You don't have to remember what you learned. We got books. Ready for the third example? This is an example I think should change. It didn't change. I don't know why. How do we count Sefiras HaOmer? You get to the 28th day. How do you count? Hayom? Shmoneh ve'esrim yom. Which number goes first? The smaller or the bigger?
Bigger.
Smaller.
Smaller.
Echad ve'esrim yom. Shnayim ve'esrim yom. How do you say it in English? 28, 29. How do you say it in Hebrew, modern Hebrew? Esrim ve'shmoneh, esrim ve'teisha. Well, which one's correct? So Maseches Yoma talks about not Sfirat HaOmer, it talks about the Kohen Gadol in the Holy Temple on the holiest day of the year doing the Hazaot, namely sprinkling the blood. Everybody remembers Musaf? Mm-hmm. You know, when you get a headache, you want the Avoda, boring, right? When it gets a little boring, it says Achad V'Achad, Achad V'Shtayim, Achad V'Shalosh. Is he counting like we do Sfirat HaOmer? Yeah, small number before the big number, right? Mm-hmm. Achad V'Shalosh, Achad V'Arba, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. I always thought that's the Jewish way to count. We do Sfirat HaOmer and Musaf on Yom Kippur. That's the way the Kohen Gadol did it. That's the Jewish way. But one day I was sitting in a home and I saw this mug in Avraham. And I said, wait, let's go back to the source. Maseches Yoma talks about the Avoda of Yom Kippur. And that's why it's called Maseches Yoma from the word Yom Kippur. And says, Tana Rabbanan, our rabbis taught, Achas, Achas, V'Achas, Achas, V'Shtayim, like we say in Musaf. Divrei Rabbi Meir. This is Rabbi Meir's opinion. Anytime the Gemara says, Divrei Rabbi X, what's coming next? The ascending opinion, right? Yeah. It's like in modern day English, you say, with all due respect, you understand that the next sentence is going to be, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. Right? Different Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. How do you count? How did the Kohen Gadol count on the holiest day in the holiest place? Achas ve'achas. Shtayim ve'achas. Shlosh ve'achas. He puts the bigger number before the small number. Not 8 and 20, but 28.
There's no nafkamina in this.
No, there's no nafkamina. Explains Rashi. What is the truth? Lo plige, there's no machlokas. The Gemara says, Hak mar ki itre or mar ki atre. Translation, what's an atar? A place. Rabbi Meir came from place number one, and they counted with the small number first. And Rabbi Yehuda came from a place like we do, with the big number first, explains Rashi. Ba'atari de Rabbi Meir monim minyan klal tchila v'kachach prat. Uva'atari de Rabbi Yehuda prat tchila. So comes along the Magen Avraham and says, based on this holy Gemara, about the holiest place and the holiest day with the holiest person, then what should be our Sfirat HaOmer count? Says the Magen Avraham, I am a generation in Poland, Ukraine, Magen Avraham functioned the next century after the Ramah. He wrote a Peirush on the Shulchan Aruch. Says the Magen Avraham, Rav Avraham Grubayner, and I quote, Yomar lo olam minyan hamuat kodem kigod echad ve'esrim yom. We always say the small number first. And he says, Miu, wait a minute. B'yom adaf nun hey, we just learned the Gemara based on where you are. Da'akol lifi minag aminam v'cheshbonam. Therefore, he says, Uve Medina Tenu, where I'm living, Poland, Ukraine, Af B'Lashon Chol, Maskirin Minyan HaMuat Kodem. So therefore, based on the Gemara, I'm going to look now in my situation. How do they count money in the bank? They do the smaller number before the bigger number. So when I tell my congregation to count the Sfirat HaOmer, I say, Echad Ve'esrim Yom. Now let's take this mug in Avraham. Let's fast forward. We're now the 21st century. You're a rabbi in a shul. Your congregation says, how should we count the Sfirat HaOmer? Says the Magen Avraham, very simple. What do you got to do? Ask the people. Count for me. 11, 12, except, go to 21. 21, 22. Ah! 21, the big number before the small number. Tonight, when you count Sfirat HaOmer, how do you count? Esrim ve'achad yom. Here, I don't understand why it didn't change. You know, we take a pasuk out of the Torah. Big pasuk, right? A Tefer Torah. No longer. We take whoever forgets something he learned. Male alava katuv, etc. He should die. No, we got books today, Rabbi Google. You get to this very trivial issue. And all of a sudden, no. Stalemate. Art scroll. Singer-sitter. Kohen. Rinat Yisrael. Am I forgetting anyone? I want to give credit to anyone Birnbaum. Without giving credit to them. Birnbaum. Philip Birnbaum. Everyone says count in the absolute opposite way from the way we count to here. So it was good enough for the Kohen Gadol that, depending on where he came from, to change. The Magen Avraham says, no problem, just ask the people. But somehow the sitters, no, stalemate, stone, we're counting this way. The fact of the matter is, and the truth of the matter is, that we all know that's not true. Because what happens if on Lag Ba'Omer, you say, Lag Ba'Omer, happy Lag Ba'Omer. Many people say, you can't count that night. Well, if the only kosher way to count is to say, Shlosha V'Shloshim Yom, how come Lag Ba'Omer suffices? Very simply. Because you can count any way you want. So I don't know why this didn't change. I throw out the question to all the people listening. Why is this in stone? This is like a trivial issue. Because you're going to count. The only question is, bigger before small, small before big. This stays.
I can give you an answer.
Yeah.
Possibly. Because you want to have everybody doing everything aligned the same way. So if I say if you go to India and they do it a different way.
Right.
So when you're going to one place...
Could be. Could be.
You can ask him then why.
Could be. Harold's actually on very firm ground because we all know you can daven and say Kriyat Shema in English, meaning in the vernacular. And I don't know any Orthodox shul today that does that. It's an absolute pashut Mishnah Gemara. Elu ne'marim v'chol l'shon says the Gemara in Sota, one of the Mishnah in Sota, and one of the examples is Kriyat Shema, the other example is Tefillah. So how come today you come to shul, Jews are holding the prayer book opposite because they don't know how to read Hebrew? No, you got to say it in Hebrew. Okay, the chazan gets up there and says things that are happy with a very sad tune. It says things that are sad with a very happy tune because he doesn't understand the word he's saying. No, leave it that way. How come? Says Harold. Because whether you're in Venezuela where they speak Spanish, or in Portugal where they speak Portuguese, or in the Ukraine, or Russia, or Israel, all Jews will daven the same way. Could be. We wanted to make uniformity in that sense. Could be. Even though it's against the Mishnah, the Gemara, it's against the Magen Avraham. Could be. Okay, I leave it out there. I just want to end with the following thing. We just said the Torah did change. We just said it applies differently to every new situation. We don't eradicate a pasuk, but we say the pasuk could be fulfilled differently. Just like you don't have to write a Sefer Torah today. You can buy books. Is there an example in Jewish law, or to be more precise, in Jewish history, where a rabbi said, I'm just doing what my Rebbe said. And God said, you're just doing what your Rebbe said? You're a great sinner. Is there an example? So you don't need to know Jewish history too well for this one. Just look in, say for Yehoshua. Yehoshua came into Israel with the Jewish people. What did he conquer first?
Yericho.
And then he said, whoever touches from the booty of Yericho is in Chayrim. And what happened? Achan came along and touched it. And then the second war against Ai, they lost. Mm-hmm. So after they lost and Yehoshua was sitting on the floor, Vayomar Hashem al Yehoshua, kum lecha, stand up, lama zetam ofel apanecha. Why are you doing tachnun saying I must have sinned? Get up. Why did God say get up? The Masechet Sanhedrin daf Mem Dalet explains why. Okima Rav Amora alei vedarash. Says Rav Amora the following. Kasher tziva Hashem et Moshe avdo, ken tziva Moshe et Yehoshua, v'chein asa Yehoshua, lo hisir mikol davar sheziva Hashem et Moshe. Yehoshua continued the tradition of Moshe Rabbeinu, he didn't change any of the Torah laws, etc. Okay, got it. That's what Jews should do. Continue the tradition. Right? One of the most holiest songs ever composed was? Tradition. Fiddler on the Roof. Tradition. I know Jews today that saw that movie that brought them closer to Judaism. Well, tradition's tradition. Says the Gemara, I quote, Im kein matamud lamar kum lecha. Why did God say, get up? He did an avera, let him sit down and confess and says, why do you say, get up? Amar lei, I love this Gemara. Ata garamta lahem. Anyone want to translate? It's your fault. Explains Rashi. What does it mean, it's your fault? Mishelcha umiyadcha hayta zot lahem shaf bishvilcha nenshu shelo hayalcha lesor lahem bisat yericho. Why did you say whoever takes from the booty is in chayrim? Why did you say that for? Because of that, one guy took and I punished all the Jewish people. Gentlemen, what did Yeshua say in his defense? What do you mean? When my holy teacher Moshe captured the eastern bank of the Jordan River, he put everything in Chayrim. So I'm just continuing what my teacher did. God says to him, and I'm going to say it in my language, you moron! When your teacher, Moshe Rabbeinu, put everything in Chayrim, that was before the reality of Kol Yisrael Arevin Zibazeh. Translate. Before all the Jewish people are Arabs to each other. I mean, all the Jewish people are guarantors to each other. What does that mean? Namely, if on Friday night I make Kiddush, and as a Jew in the Midbar says, hi, Rabbi, hi, I don't know how to make the sanctification of the day. Can you do it? Your answer would be, tough, I already did it. But after they crossed into the western bank of the Jordan River, a new din came along, a new law. All the Jewish people are guarantors for one another. So even if you blew shofar, you blew the shofar already. If someone didn't hear shofar, you can make the bracha again and blow for him. You're all guarantors to one another. Well, when Moshe Rabbeinu made the Chayrim, it made no difference if someone cheated. God will punish that person. But once Yoshua made the Chayrim, that was already a reality change. What was the reality change? There was Arvut. So once one Achan takes from the booty, who's punished? All the Jewish people. Says God to Moshe, to Yoshua, why did you do that for? The reality changed. You don't just continue with what your Rebbe did simply because we continue the same way. Just like we saw in all the examples today. Take the eternal Torah, plug it into the new reality, and see what you come out with. What did Yoshua do? He took the eternal Torah, disregarded the reality, and just did it. And look what happened. They lost. So many lives were lost because of that decision. So gentlemen, I'm going to end with the following story. There was once a Hasidic Rebbe, and he dressed in a certain way, and he davened in a certain way. His son took over once he died, and he davened opposite from his father. His father davened for sake of argument, Nusach Sfarad, he did Ashkenaz. His father sang a lot, no tunes by him. His father davened for a long time, he made a rule. We start at 8:30, we end at 10. If by 10 o'clock the chazan's not finished, we shoot the chazan, we go home. You ever been to minions like that?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. So the Hasidim say, but our holy tradition is this? He says, no, it's not. When my father became Rebbe, he changed what his father did. So when I became Rebbe, I changed what my father did. That's the tradition. It's not the tradition that we continue the same mode of behavior. But just like my father saw the reality, eternal Torah, and plugged in, and ultimately the result was A or B, I did the same thing, new reality, same eternal Torah, I came out with C.
Sure.
Thus, if the rabbi doesn't have a beard and his Talmud does have a beard, very good. You check. Did the rabbi's rabbi have a beard? Yes. Why didn't he have a beard? Oh, he changed. And why do you have a beard? Because I changed too. The Torah doesn't change. The reality changed. And we give many examples today to refute the notion the Torah doesn't change. Of course, the Torah is eternal. But the way it's fulfilled will change from generation to generation. Wishing you all a very happy Hanukkah.